are you there yet? All right. I don't know what happened, but they dropped all of us. So just bear with us, and we're back on. Shabbat shalom, everyone. We're in the midst of our Torah-minded segment, giving Sarah an opportunity to get back on the line as well. And here we go.
People will try to force this particular prophecy found in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. They'll try to force that into modern times, and they'll say that this represents our captivity here in America. But we know that's not the case. We know that we were in America far longer than four generations, far longer than 400 years. We know that the Most High Word never comes back void or unfulfilled. So we know that this particular portion in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, is not speaking about our captivity here in America. It says in Genesis 15, verse 13 and 14, know of surety that your descendants will be a stranger in a land that's not theirs. They will afflict you, and you will be captive. And in the fourth generation, you will usher with great substance. You see, the beginning of this prophecy was when Yaakov entered the land of Egypt. Yaakov entering Egypt was the beginning of that prophecy. The four generations were counted through the Levitical bloodline after Yaakov came into Egypt. The generations were Levi, Kohath, Amram, and then in the fourth generation, we have our beloved prophet Moshe, who assisted God's chosen people in making their exodus with great substance out of the land of Egypt, which brought the prophecy to fruition. 430 years to the same day. Hallelujah. Mehallelujah. 70 souls of Israel came into Egypt. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verse 28, Judah solidifies his future position as leader by leading the way as his father and all the camp followed to Goshen. This is why the scepter will never depart from his bloodline, because of the strivings after righteousness that he exemplified or that he put forth in his day and time. So we can even secure blessings for the people in our bloodline that come after us simply by making or taking the initiative. Now we have life to be leaders, to step up to the plate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph greeted his father and instructed his brothers to emphasize their occupation when they were presented to Pharaoh. They were agrarian men. They were shepherds, to be exact. This was important to be known because it was the reason, it was paramount that they received the land of Goshen. Let's talk about Goshen. Goshen was a district in Egypt most conducive for their herds because it was abundant in pastoral lands. Hence, it was the ideal location for shepherds. Goshen was located in the Fertile Crescent in which the Nile River flowed. The river would annually overflow, spilling over to the land, acting as a source of natural fertilizer and nutrients for the fields. Nothing but black soil in the land of Goshen. Anyone who's ever planted a seed, anyone who has any experience in agrarian life, planting and harvesting, you know that black soil is the best soil that you can possibly plant in. You don't even have to plant a seed in black soil. All you have to do is drop it on black soil, and it'll take root. It'll grow. And this was the land that was given to the Hebrews in Egypt because of the Hebrews, because of Joseph's strivings, because of his presence of mind to place his people in the most comfortable situation that they could possibly be in. Let us have that same presence of mind let us have a genuine desire to make our family members' lives easier when we can. Let us give them the best of the best whenever we can. And Israel settled in Goshen in the book of Genesis chapter 47. And Joseph presented five of his brothers to Pharaoh to petition for the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh agreed and moreover asked for the Israelites to maintain his very own livestock as well. Now that's powerful. That's important. Because we know that we were shepherds. We had flocks and herds. But the Egyptians, they worshiped the flocks and herds. So for Pharaoh to entrust his deities to the care of the Hebrew Israelites, that's just, he held them in high esteem. He recognized their talents and their skills. Their trade was something to be marveled at. They were exceptional talents. Hallelujah. Mehalelia. He presented his father, Yaakov, to Pharaoh. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh upon meeting him, showing that he was living out the blessings of Abraham, found in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 13, which states, "And in you shall all the families of your earth be blessed." And here is Yaakov giving a blessing to the king of Egypt. He wasn't a Hebrew, but yet he was blessed by our forefather. This lets us know that we too have the ability to bless, and we too should not be stingy with the blessings that we put out there. We should bless anyone in our circle. We should bless the various families of the earth. We should bless individuals from other nations. But mainly, we should bless the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yaakov is the type of man that would bless a stranger when he entered the presence of that stranger. That's the spirit that we should have. We are the sons and daughters of light. We ought to allow our light to shine. We have the power to bless. Make sure that you use that power wisely. Make sure you recognize the power of the tongue. You can bless or curse with the words that you speak in the presence of others. Choose to leave a blessing anytime you open your mouth. Just like Yaakov did with Paro or Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Mehallelujah. Pharaoh inquired of his age, and Yaakov's reply was that he was 130, and the years of his sojournings were few and evil. Meaning they were bad. Bad was the days and years of his life, in his opinion. Meaning he had a rough life until this point. And let me elaborate on his life to bring us up to speed, because many might say, hey, why would he say that his days were few and evil? Well, remember, he had the issue with his birthright. So with the birthright of his brother Esau. Remember, he had the issue with the blessing. He took the blessing from Esau. Remember, he had to flee from Esau because Esau wanted to kill him. Remember the situation with Laban, Leah and Rachel. He was conned in that situation. He only wanted one wife, but he ended up with two wives and two concubines. Remember that his firstborn slept with one of his concubines. Remember that his region was plagued with famine while he was alive. Remember the situation with Yosef and his brothers. Those were his children. You see, some of the Most High's greatest servants have had some of the greatest obstacles to overcome. The blessings of the Most High will not always grant you immunity to hardship, trials, and tribulations. But know that you too can persevere. Just like Yaakov did. It was he who strove with God and man and prevailed. And so can you. You're cut from the same cloth. You are a chip off of the old pot. We can overcome like Joseph. Joseph's life wasn't easy, but he overcame. He rose to power and prominence while serving the Creator, even in a strange land. Remember the life of Job. Job was a sufferer, destined to come back, destined to prevail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This portion also gives further insight to the character of Yosef. Joseph secured his family's best interest by giving them the best of the land. He sustained his family according to their wants, needs, and desires. The famine still prevailed in the land, and as a result, Joseph acquired all the money of Egypt and Canaan by way of grain leasehold, which increased the wealth of Pharaoh's household during the time of famine. Now, the people cried as a result of their lack of bread because of the famine and began to sell their cattle and their herds. And then finally, they sold their land. Proving the point emphasized in last week's portion, never depend on the government. Although the government proclaims to want to help the people, they always look after their best interests. Joseph, he was a savvy businessman, and he built up the wealth of Egypt. And he even acquired the land of the people who were most destitute to be given to Pharaoh. See, the Egyptians ultimately traded their freedom and possessions for food, which is evident because Joseph then displaced the Egyptians to sever their connection to the land of which they sold. All except for the land of the priests of Egypt. So remember, be very skeptical when you enter relationships with the government, because in the long run, they always look after their best interests. Never depend on the government. Never trade your freedom for handouts from the government, because that's exactly what you do when you depend on the government. Many of us fall into that trap in this day and time. So section 8. But food. Concluding with the handouts from the government. And I'm not saying that many of our people don't need that type of assistance. I'm not saying that the American government shouldn't try to look out for people. But in the long run, the American government should look out for their best interests. Not for the lowly, not for the destitute, not for the fatherless, not for the widows, not for the orphans. They will look out for themselves. No one will look after your best interests like you. Be sure that you do just that. Look after your best interests and never depend on any governmental structure. Even if they place a Hebrew to be at the figurehead or the head of that governmental structure, like they did with Barack Obama, remember that the government will always look after their best interests. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gave light to the first mention of sharecropping in human history. A sharecropper is one who works for a share of the crops they harvest. The share of the Egyptians was 4/5, or 80%, meaning a fifth part of 20% of the ingathering was given to Pharaoh, and 80%, or 4/5, was kept for their hard work of sowing the seed in the land. Again, it is important to know that Joseph's implementation of a new governmental structure in Egypt is still present in Egypt until this very day. To this very day, the taxation of the land of Egypt has remained the same. 20% corporation tax or corporate tax, 20% business tax, 20% income tax. This was all established by Joseph thousands of years ago. In spite of efforts to cover up Israel's presence in Egypt, traces of our metaphoric DNA is ever present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, or Mitzrayim, in the land of Goshen. While in the land of Egypt, the children of Israel increased in possessions. They were fruitful and multiplied exceedingly, even though they were in captivity, which is the divine message to each and every one of us here today. Although we were held captive, although many of us are still captive here in the various lands of our captivity, in the various lands we were scattered to, we are to increase in possessions. We are to be fruitful both monetarily and spiritually. And we are to make marriages and multiply exceedingly. That will protect our best interests in the various lands of our captivity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this week's top Torah is found in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel in Hebrew is pronounced Yeheskel. It means Yah shall strengthen. Hallelujah. He was of the priestly family, like his predecessor Jeremiah, meaning he was a Levitical prophet. He flourished during the Babylonian exile. Ezekiel was taken captive along with King Jehoiakim, 597 BCE. He had a 20-year prophetic tenure. The prophetic calling came to Ezekiel in a vision on the banks of the river Kabar, 5 years after he came to Babylon, which is a historic account memorialized by 137 Psalms, and by way of our song of praise titled Jerusalem. And it begins by saying, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sit. And they cried when they remembered Zion. But at that point, it's a day late and a dollar short. They were in captivity because of their sins and their transgressions. It gives credence to the old saying, you never miss a good thing until it's gone. They sat there in the land of their captors, and they remembered their divinely promised land. They remembered the land promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they yearned for it. That is the same spirit we should all have in this day and age. We too should yearn to once again see our divinely promised land. And peace and blessings to everyone who's had an opportunity to visit Israel. That's Northern Africa. That's our land. We too should cry when we remember Zion. We should have that genuine desire to get back to our divine promised land. He is the only prophet. Ezekiel is the only prophet who was addressed as Bain Adam, or son of man, in order to emphasize his mortality, in order to emphasize the mortality of all prophets who come in the name of the Most High. A prophet should not be praised, because a prophet comes to bring a message from the Creator. All praise, honor, and glory goes to the Most High, never to a prophet. I don't care what great works he's done. I don't care how many miracles he's committed. All praise, all honor, and all glory goes to the Creator of heaven and earth. We should praise the Creator, not the creation. A prophet was created by God to bring a message to his people. Therefore, the praise should never go to the man. It should always go to the Creator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He prophesied to Judah and to the Hebrews of the Babylonian exile. The book of Ezekiel is divided into two parts of 24 chapters each. The first half predicts the fall of Jerusalem. The second half predicts the fall of the various nations, namely Israel, due to corruption, iniquity, vice, and idolatry, which are things that still plague many of our people in this day and age. Corruption, iniquity, the various vices that we fall victim to, idolatry, still plagues us as a people. So in order for us to be redeemed as a people, we have to get away from the corruption, from the iniquity, from the vices, from the idolatry. Then we marry Yehovah Sabaoth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today's Haftorah portion is found in the second half of that division. The Haftorah is specifically found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. And it speaks of the unification of Israel and Yehuda, or Judah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week's Haftorah mentions the fusion of Judah and the other 12 tribes of Israel during the Messianic era. Many of us are afraid to use that term, Messianic era. Many of us are afraid to use the term Messianic. But if you are Hebrew and you read the divine and holy scriptures, you are Messianic. What is the Messianic age? It is the theological term referring to a future time of universal peace and brotherhood, without crime, without war, without poverty. The Most High Hebrew prophets spoke about this time. It is yet to come. We're still waiting on that coming. Our Christian brothers and sisters believe that time has already come. But where is the peace? Why do we still have war? Why is there still crying? Why is there not a figurehead reigning from Jerusalem, from the bloodline of King David? So the Messiah has yet to come. We're still waiting on the Messiah. Hallelujah. May hallelujah. Ezekiel describes a prophecy in which he was instructed to take two sticks, and on one write Judah, and on the other write Israel. He fused them into one stick. The sticks were symbolic of the two divided kingdoms in the house of Israel, and our nation is still splintered and divided even in this day and time. But I see the dry bones coming back together, having life, having sinew on them. People are awakening all over the globe, and you are part of that reason. You are the light that have awakened many souls to the truth. Continue in your divine struggle. Continue shining your light. Continue being a righteous example, as Sir Nehemiah said in the opening prayer this morning. It is our job. We are the sons and daughters of light. We are the ones to bring righteousness to the earth. Let your light shine. Let us become unified once again. The northern kingdom was established by Jeroboam, the Ishmael, while the southern kingdom remained under the Davidic dynasty. And what divided the kingdoms? Ego did. What divides us in this day and time? Ego. Let us drop the ego and become unified once again. The fusion of the two sticks will transpire in the future days to come, with the descendant of King David at the forefront, and be the catalyst of this unification process. And it's yet to come. Our Christian brothers and sisters are off base. The Messiah didn't come 2,000 years ago. We're still waiting on the Messiah. But don't sit on your hands and wait. Work proactively. Take the initiative to be righteous, to spread righteousness, to shine your righteous light to other individuals. That is our divine calling. That is our righteous SOP. The portion also speaks of the future redemption of the descendants of Israel, the remnant. And it emphasizes our return to the divine promised land. Hashayir Yashu, the remnant shall return. Always remember, the remnant shall return. May we all be a part of that number. And this future day, we all would be one nation under one womb, with one mind. Remember the prophecy of Isaiah in the 11th chapter. It is a promise of eventual peace under a descendant of Jesse, under the Judite. May the Creator bring this day about expeditiously. Ezekiel often reveals a promise of the certainty of these events. This thing will surely come to pass. Align yourself with the team of righteousness so that we can be a part of the number. From this point in our days to come, the Davidic dynasty will be prince of the nation. Perpetually. And remember, at best, a man can only be a prince in this nation. Even though we give them the formal title of kings, like King David, King Solomon, in the eyes of the Creator, they're princes. There's but one king, and that is Jehovah Sabaoth. Give an all praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel. In closing, there are many concepts and principles expressed in this week's sigil, or Hatorah, which are paramount as it relates to our day-to-day walk with the Creator of heaven and earth. Number one, repentance, or teshuvah, means to return. Let us all have that genuine desire to return to the mark of righteousness. Number two, forgiveness. Forgiveness, it is imperative in both our divine and interpersonal relationship. How could we ever expect Yah to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive one another? Embrace forgiveness. It benefits you more than the person who has wronged you. Embrace forgiveness. Number three, hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20, but only as a result of constant introspection as well as retrospection. Let us take the time out of our lives to meditate, to look back at our lives retrospectively, and see the divine hand of the ultimate refiner, Yehovah Sabaoth. See how the Creator has interacted in your life and has caused certain things to come to pass. Even certain things that we considered that were tumultuous, things that caused us pain and grief. When you look back at it in hindsight, it's a refinement of character. Don't despise the process. Don't be afraid of the process. Prevail through the struggles. Look back at your life, and I guarantee you, you will see the hand of the Creator. Hindsight is 20/20, but only as a result of constant introspection as well as retrospection. Number four, remember the value of family. The value of family is also an important concept in this week's Torah portion. Be sure to cherish and safeguard interfamily relationships, interpersonal relationships, relationships with those who share the same blood as you. Number five,
join the conference.
Remember the resilient love of family, in spite of our dysfunctions. Remember that love covers all sins, all transgressions. Love is the building block which will allow you to reestablish a divine relationship with the Creator and a relationship one with another. Number six, like Israel, we should always aspire to be self-sufficient, evident in his move to Egypt. He brought all that he had. He didn't want to depend on anyone. Let us all have the presence of mind to be self-sufficient. Number seven, state of mind. We should always travel with the Most High at the forefront of our mind, just like our forefathers did. This is why they built altars and presented offerings everywhere they traveled. Our offerings are now the prayers that we put forth into the Yehovah Sabaoth. Make sure they're pure. Make sure they're genuine. Make sure your actions coincide. Number eight, like Yaakov, now known as Israel, we should desire God's protection, especially when embarking on new endeavors, as well as in our travels. Remember Yaakov's offering to Beersheba. He did that right before he traveled to Egypt. How many of us are saying prayers and invoking the presence of the Most High before we embark on something new, before we travel to a new place? Number nine, resiliency. Resiliency is needed to prevail over life's obstacles. Be ye resilient. Remember, you come from he who strove against Yah and man and still prevailed. You're a chip off of the old block. You serve the same Elohim. You too can rise above adversity. Number 10, always protect the best interests of your family. Number 11, our goals in captivity. You see, in the Egyptian captivity, the portion ends by stating, we increased in possessions, we were fruitful, and we multiplied exceedingly, which should still be the articulation of our goals in captivity in modern times. Our goals in captivity should be spiritual refinement, to be fruitful, both spiritually and monetarily, and to multiply. And this is a sentiment that's echoed in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 4-6. as we went into our Babylonian captivity, it's still very relevant in this day and age. Build ye houses. Increase in possessions. Plant gardens and vineyards. Things be fruitful. Beget sons and daughters. Make marriages. Arrange marriages with your sons and daughters so that you will not diminish. Multiply exceedingly. Number 12. The Hav Torah serves as a reminder to us all. Keep in mind that our future destiny is complete unification. Therefore, we should work progressively toward acquiring the state of mind conducive to our future reality. Our destiny is complete unification. And for those of us who wrestle with that idea, pardon me for saying this, but maybe you are not a part of the remnant. You can change that by embracing the future reality of this great nation. We will be completely unified. So therefore, we should work progressively toward acquiring that state of mind that's conducive to our reality, complete unification. Please continue to meditate in this book of the law and continue to apply the concepts enclosed therein to ensure that you are Torah-minded in your spiritual journey of life. And as always, remember that you are worthy. Remember that you are beautiful. Remember that you are loved. Remember that you are protected and blessed by the best. Remember that our potential is unlimited because our heritage is sacred. Odulai Yahuwah Kitol, Tile Olam Kasida. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I told you our history was something movies were made out of. I tell you, boy, I just love hearing the breakdown by the Morim. I love hearing the women discuss these portions because, you know, it's important to know what you get out of it today. How do you relate to some of these portions? Do you see yourself in it? Can you glean yourself out of this portion? This is, for me, it's a work of art. And if you don't see yourself in this portion, then perhaps you're not in the remnant. Perhaps you're not Israel. Now, these have been a work that for us, if we don't get the picture, then we're going to continue to miss it and miss it. And our children are going to miss it. It's important not only just to get the message of what they were saying back in the day and how we relate to it right now, but did we change any? Did we actually become loyal? Are we better to our brothers and our sisters in this day and age? You know, are we causing our father and mother grief, unnecessary grief? These are all the things that I wonder. Anyway, Moray did such a wonderful job that all I can say is Todah Rabah again for these wonderful lessons that have been left on record. I say it all the time, you know, because Moray is not on the line in the live way. He's not live, but the message is still alive. Just like Joseph was still alive, even though everybody thought he was dead. His own brothers didn't even know what happened. You know they did the most. You know they, in selling their brother and still not be able to say whether he was alive or dead, you know you did the most. You're going to tell your Abba this lie. And then watch him suffer. You know we were up to no good. That was a terrible time in our history. But have we changed? That Torah portion was one of the most surprising, but not surprising, Torah portions that we had, how we disrespected each other. You know, how we were boasting on ourselves and not really considering each other. We were brothers and sisters, and we were really acting like terrible enemies towards each other. You know, and if your children can learn the nuts and bolts of this portion and apply it to their lives, they will treat each other much better based off of the history. What happened with the brothers? You know, you have to feel some sort of responsibility for dealing with your brothers in an ill way. You know, when you think about how harsh they were with him, then you know that they didn't care how young he was, whether he was the baby or not. They didn't care whether he was the beloved of his father. They just was fed up with him. But you see, the Most High, even though they may be fed up with you, Most High is not. He got something that he wants to reveal to you. And Yosef, he got that message loud and clear. It took many years, but he got the lesson. And he was able to preserve life. Most High used him for something greater than even himself. Yeah, he went to jail and didn't do anything to deserve it. But the Creator is doing something with him that we can't see with the naked eye. And it was going on all along, even from back when they threw him in the pit. But did Yosef get the lesson? Was it too late? Did the brothers get the lesson? Was it too late for them? Are we getting the lesson? Is it too late for us? Each generation has a responsibility to get the lesson. And I pray that we are acknowledging and understanding what that is. So I once again say Torah to Mori Uziah for bringing forth such a powerful lesson for us each and every Shabbat. And whenever you get a chance, just go and give him a high five, messaging him, give him something and let him know that we're still rooting for his return and we're thankful for all that he has done to leave us with this information. Very powerful. We call it a summary, but as you can see, it was very well detailed. May the Most High continue to bless him and his family. And as we move forward in our next segment and hear from our sister, Akot Adira, we like to just thank you all for your continued support. For those of you who use the P.O. box to send in donations, we appreciate you so very much. And it doesn't go unnoticed. We thank each and every one of you for joining us on this Shabbat and being here even when we do our throwback. And for the past couple of weeks, we did a recording. But so very thankful to each and every one of you for your support, for your caring, for your words, for your prayers. This, however, is the prayer line, and we do not do anything coming on and leaving without prayer. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hear from Gever Adira. This is what we lovingly call the health spot. Shabbat shalom, fam, and stay blessed.
He's talking with the whisper, tell you everything you wanted to hear, and it makes you feel good, like you knew you could. Making you doubt everything you knew was good and right.
Turn your back on your lips.
What you didn't know was that
he's alive.
What you said,
don't keep fighting on food. Don't keep having a fool. Hey. Don't keep having a fool. Oh, no. Don't keep having a fool of money. Yeah. He comes with the promise.
Yes, Makeda. Saying dumb words. Adira, good job. Good choice for a new intro song. I love it. It fits you. I can see you changing the words and the melody to this song, singing it to us one day. Torah, Shabbat Shalom. How you feeling today?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Yes, I can hear myself doing that same thing. Hey, that's the only way I remember things, you know.
I love it. Gotta put
your spirit and your soul into it sometimes, you know. But
yeah.
I appreciate the sister for, you know, just having the spirit. spirit, just having the understanding and the knowledge, and having the wherewithal to keep pushing those vibes out. You know, we need that music, and, you know, we need that to bring us back to a spiritual alignment so that we can understand, you know, the scripture's not only on the page in black and white, it's right here, right now. How do you, you know, how do you bring that to life and manifest it to your reality wherever you are? You know, so we have to give her props and say, hey, you know, a lot of people translate information from music into reality. That's just a better mode of communication for them. Some people translate, you know, words into reality, and they read better. Some people listen better. So she's taken the initiative because she's been given the gift of having a wonderful voice. Queen Makeda has 4 albums out, you know. I don't know how we could miss this. She is full of the spirit of Yah. And when I heard this one, we were just sitting in the kitchen and doing pretty much of nothing, just resting and listening and taking in the vibes. And that one came across the YouTube. I said, yes, this is singing my song. So hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Grateful for the many blessings. We all have a piece of the puzzle. So, and mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're back home safely. And I had a wonderful trip this time around.
Yes, I'm glad you've recognized this time around. You said it so well. Because the last time around, you know, I was ill. It was right before that surgery. So I got a chance to enjoy it this time around. So I really enjoyed it this time. So that was a makeup for last time. And what I really enjoyed as well right now is that meme I made for your health spot. Oh, it's so nice. Did you look at it?
Yeah. What you posted today?
Yeah. Today's me for the health spot.
Ooh,
I was being creative. I was tapping into my creative side.
Okay, so you were being creative today. Yes, that's beautiful. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yay.
Yes, that is so beautiful. And that's, guess what? My favorite color. Hot pink.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now I do. All right. Yeah. I was just feeling some kind of vibe with that. I was like, okay, let's do it.
We're right there, my sister. We're right there. So you sound like you're good. You sound like you're golden. You have high energy. Your spirit
mm-hmm.
is on high. You're being creative. And I hear you talking over there. So you must have brought back some really, really good vibes from the land.
Yeah, it's either that or all the coconut water and mangoes I was eating. I don't know. I think that would have something to do with it.
Well, you know, coconut water is definitely a friend. And what I'm going to talk about today is all of our friends. What we need right now in our lives is a real good dose of a healthy flu shot. Because when you go to the islands, or when you go to different places like that, tropical areas or whatever, you know, you get all of that straight into your system, right from the tree, right in the land where, you know, it comes up, and you're eating that and you're drinking that and you're taking that in on a regular. But here in the States, in the dead of cold, right in the beginning of January, we have to go looking for stuff like that. We have to go looking for it, and we have to really be circumspect as to what we choose to pick up for our system. So cleansing is important. What you choose to cleanse with is just as important. So we have to be careful with how we choose our fruits and veggies. We have to be careful about that, eat what's in season. And you'll know what's in season because they'll have it on sale. It won't be that expensive, you know. So you get what is what's on sale at a discount. You sniff it, you touch it, you squeeze it a little bit, see if it's right to your liking, and you use that for your drinks. You use that for your sauces. You can make sauces out of these fruits. Okay, so you make we made a delicious mango dressing. One time we had a beautiful mango. We made a mango dressing for our salad. But you can also use that mango for your juice drink and put it in your juice drink, and all of those components will be readily available for your system to utilize and maintain health and wellness for you. So right now we're in the midst of a flu epidemic. You know, lots of people have gotten the flu shot, lots of people still getting the flu. Well, I'm here to tell you, there is a way that you can fortify your own system, but you have to be diligent and you have to stay committed to the process. See, everything's a process when you talk about changing your behavior and changing your ways. Everything's a process. So we look at sickness and disease, illness, and things like that as, okay, well, I need to go to the doctor and get a pill or get some kind of drink or syrup or whatever from the CVS or from the pharmacy or whatever. Okay, so if we flip that script and change the paradigm, put our hand in the hand of Yah, and do a spiritual cleanse of our mind, changing our behavior, we'll soon see that we don't need to run to the doctor or go to the pharmacist or find a pill or find a syrup. We won't have one. We won't have one. We won't need a flu shot. We won't need a vaccination. We won't need those things because we will have put our faith in Yah, eating the right foods, gotten that toxic mess out of our system. And we live a happier life, a better quality of life. So today's lesson is on the flu shot. And what does it look like? What is it? And how you should incorporate it into your life. It's not just a one-and-done type thing. You know, these things are a regular practice. And we're given the opportunity to teach our children and our future generations how to do it, so that they can be self-sufficient and not rely on medical community for all of their needs. We'll be spiritually stronger, we'll be physically stronger, and we'll be mentally stronger once we start making these changes in our lifestyle. So the flu shot is one of them. Now, we have a lot of people going into the new year making these resolutions and whatnot. Let one of your resolutions be to cleanse your body. Cleanse your body of the toxins. We are bombarded with toxins on a regular basis. We're bombarded with toxins from the air, the water, the food, everything. It's toxic right now. So we have to be very circumspect about cleaning out those toxins from our bodies, those that, you know, we really can't avoid. You can't avoid them. You have to breathe. But do you need to breathe in aerosols, sprays, and fragrances? No. You don't buy those types of things because they're going into your nasal passages. They're causing you to have headaches. They're causing you to have respiratory illness and disease, you know, and they're causing you to have all these different types of problems. You don't know it. But that's what happens. You know, a lot of these things matriculate into our system and shuts our system down. And we don't know why it's happening. It's just happening. So this is one of the reasons why it's so very important to cleanse. One of the ways that we cleanse is to stop eating and have a fast. Allow your body to just recalibrate. allow your body to just reset itself by not eating. So we can do a fast. We can also do teas. You can do a tea fast and just drink certain teas to purge certain things from your body. You can also go on a cleanse, a juice feast. You can go on a juice feast and cleanse your body that way. And choose juices like these ingredients I'm about to tell you here, but blue shot. Or you can choose to do smoothies and salads and, you know, different things like that with certain ingredients like dandelion, like peppers and onions, things that will clean your system, parsley, turmeric, ginger. These things clean your system. You can also jump on a trampoline. Jumping on a trampoline is a type of cleanse. It cleanses out your lymph nodes, believe it or not. It's a cleanse. And I learned that from the Living Foods Institute when I went there for a 10-day cleanse. And that was one of the exercises that we did. We jumped on the trampoline, and they had this vibrating machine that you stood upon a pad, and you held on to these two handles, and you just stood there on this pad, and this pad vibrated. And that vibration helped to eliminate toxins from your lymph nodes. You have lymph nodes all over your body. If they get stuck or clogged up or whatever, you start to get sick. So the best way to alleviate sickness is to cleanse your body and allow it to recalibrate and reset itself. Another way that you can do your cleanse is water cleanse. Water cleanse is excellent. You just take that 20 ounces of water or whatever, first thing in the morning, guzzle it down. You just guzzle it right on down, first thing in the morning. And you wait until you purge, because it will purge you. It'll go right through you. And that's the water cleanse. Really, really simple things. You know, you can also put some lemon into it. You can put some lemon and water. Oh, it's such a wonderful cleanse in the morning, lemon water. And I'm not talking about cold water, because cold water damages your system first thing in the morning. You need lukewarm water. You need room temperature water, something that's been standing, and preferably in a glass, not plastic, because the plastics also have a lot of toxins incorporated in that material that leaches into the water. So you want to store your water in mason jars or some type of plastic, or some type of glass, and get it out of that plastic, okay? Apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is another way to cleanse your body. And you don't need to go overboard with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. That is nasty. Oh, my gosh. Have something. But that's for your diehards that, you know, they want to just get in it. Get in the game. Let's do it. But, you know, if you want to do something a little bit more sustainable and, you know, you can just do it all the time, every day, without it, you know, causing a huge impact on your psyche and your emotional stability, you can just put some of that apple cider vinegar into your salad. Put some of it in your salad along with nice squeeze of lemon, and then put your herbs like your basil, thyme, oregano onto your salad. Toss that all up with some Himalayan salt and fresh black pepper. Mm. And you have a nice salad with your olive oil. You know, do these types of things throughout the day. You know, you should be having one salad every day. One salad every day. Make two salads a week. Therefore, you know that your salad is fresh. Two salads a week. By the third day or whatever, your salad should be gone. You should be making another salad. Make a nice salad to all of your family can enjoy it. And when you build your salad with love. Build your salad with some really great ingredients like purple or red cabbage and broccoli. But the broccoli is delicious if you just steam it just for a little bit. You steam it for a little bit and then you put it into your salad to crown. Put some spinach and some dandelions into your salad. Put these things into your salad and build your salad and make it beautiful and filling. Add some quinoa into the salad, some mushrooms into the salad. But one thing you don't want to do to mess up your salad is to put that ready pre-mixed salad dressing onto your salad. Salad dressing's been sitting there since Moby Dick was a tadpole. You don't want to put stuff like that onto your salad when you're cleansing. You cleanse, you don't really want to use it at all, but you cleanse and you put fresh ingredients onto your salad. So it can be ready to go. Do what it needs to do in your body. Like was mentioned earlier, you know, we don't know what the Most High is doing in there, but he's doing something. We don't know what he was doing with Joseph in prison. We don't know why, you know, he caused the brothers to throw Joseph into the pit, but it was his plan. And it wasn't for us to discover until way, way later why these things occurred. And why, if you know, he went that pathway in order for that to happen, you know. Maybe there was something that needed to happen internally, spiritually, with him. But it happened inside. So when we eat these things, or when we drink these things, we have to do it with the faith in the eternal, mm-hmm. that he has created this food so that we can live. Choose life. That's what it says throughout the whole time. Choose life. So we have to refrain from Babylon food. We have to refrain from our keeping our faith in this medical community. We have to start to have faith in the creator of heaven and earth, that he's designed the pomegranates, the pears, the apples, the pineapples, the turmeric, the ginger, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. He's designed all of these things to create a better and more fortified system so that you can have a better quality of life without the drugs. Without the medical marijuana, without the CBD. Mm. If you just put your faith in the hands of Yah and start to change your behavior, you'll have a different reality. You'll manifest a different reality. And so when we look at different types of cleanses, we have to look at them through spiritual eyes like this. These cleanses are not just designed just to entertain you, you know, or say, oh, I did the cleanse, you know, and look at me. No, these cleanses are designed to help you have a better quality of life and teach the future generations on how to have a sustainable life, mm-hmm. have a sustainable life where we can go out there in the bush and right. get what we need from the ground mm-hmm. and not from, you know, all of these pharmacies and hospitals and doctors and things like that. It's right out there, and the Creator put it there for us, and it's nigh unto us. So here we have the next section is what to avoid. What in particular do we avoid when we're doing a cleanse? Right? We have to look at things that we're doing and be very circumspect and honest about what, you know, because it's different for every person. But it's pretty much the same overall. We eat meat on a regular basis that does not digest in our system. The meat is contaminated, and more than likely, it's not being cleaned properly. More than likely, you know, it's been shot up with some kind of gas to make it more appealing so that you would buy it. Mm-hmm. More than likely, it's been given some kind of vaccination sometime in its life, and you're eating all of that.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, it's been tortured, you know, and not killed in a righteous manner. You know, we don't know our butchers.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not shepherds anymore. We don't even shepherd over our own food. So we have to be very, very circumspect about the meat that we are putting into our system. If you must have it, eat less of it. And if you must have it, buy a quality meat that you know is being monitored, is being kept, is being kept like a grass-fed or free-range. It goes for your eggs, too. If you can't find them, then don't eat them until you do find them. It's a good lesson to learn. It'll make you more diligent about what you're eating, what you're putting into your family system. Because what you're putting into you and your family system is matriculated into disease and illness that you all are experiencing. So you have to be very circumspect about what you're doing so that the people who you're taking care of can be healthier and well. On account of it. I visited someone the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, and she was boiling a pot of she was boiling a pot of water with a cleaning solution in it. So she had a cleaning solution in a pot of water. She was releasing toxins into the air. Her granddaughter had sickness. You know, and there were other children in the house, and I'm asking her, do you realize that you're releasing poison into the air just so the house can smell better? And it's matriculated into everybody's system. So we have to look at these things and say to ourselves, you know, is that necessary? Can we do things a little differently? So that it can go well with us, you know. We have to avoid these contaminants as much as possible. When we clean, let's clean with foods that we can eat, like lemons. Drop some lemons into your water. Drop some oranges into your water. Clean with that. You know, take the lemon rind, the lemon. After you finish squeezing it for your juice or your smoothie, take the lemon rind and then run it in and throughout your sink. Clean your sink and your bathtub and your countertop with the lemon rind. Don't just throw it out because it's really, really good for your skin, one, because you'll be holding on to it. Two, you're smelling that fragrance. So it's going right into your nasal passages and it's an anti-inflammatory. An antioxidant. So you're smelling the lemon or the orange as you're cleaning with it, and it's helping you, it's medicating you. And the converse is true also. If you are cleaning with toxic, you know, with toxic chemicals, you're breathing that stuff in. You're taking it into your skin, you know, because you're holding it. And with your hand, if you don't have a glove on your hand, and you're taking it into your nasal passages, into your eyes, you know, and things like that. So these are the types of things you want to avoid. Cleaning supplies that are toxic, damaging to your system. Avoid them during the cleanse. Avoid also fast foods. Avoid fast foods because fast foods, even though they might be convenient and cheap, they will cost you in the long run.
Mm.
Avoid also fried foods. Fried foods have a way of just sticking around. Fried foods have a way of sticking around.
Mm.
So you want to make sure that you are getting that contamination out of your system, you know. And then you also want to avoid whites. Avoid the whites. White sugar, white flour, you know, all of these different things that are, you know, white bread. You want to avoid them because they've been super processed. Everything's been stripped out of it, and then they want to refortify it and tell them about, oh, this is fortified with this and this is fortified with that. Well, you took it out. Why did you take it out and then try to put it back in? Doesn't make sense, does it? And it is to our demise because they've changed it. They've changed that spiritual food into a demonic food.
Oh.
And then they're going to charge you extra money because they put something into it that was in it in the first place already. That's just crazy. Take, for example, and these are good things to have, but we have your essential oils. Your essential oils are wonderful. They're extracts. And they've been processed down to a very, very high concentration where you can use these things. But let's try taking a sprig of peppermint and chopping it up and putting it into our salad. Take it and put it into your wheat berry salad, into, you know, different types of things that you would normally eat or drink. And internalize it like that. You know, so you can skip paying that $25 for that little teeny bottle of essential oil just by eating it. And it only costs $1. You know, so this is wintertime, and in the wintertime, we have to get over to that produce section. Get over to that produce section and get those things that are going to help us, to cleanse us, to fortify our internal systems so that we can be well fortified and strong enough to keep back these diseases and different things like that overtake our community. So this is the recipe for the flu shot. You have pineapple. Okay, you can use 2 cups of pineapple, fresh pineapple, and maybe 3 cups if you really like that pineapple taste. But it has to be fresh, and it has to be when you take it, when you choose it, you might choose it when or before it's ready to cut. You just want to wait and make sure those tips of the top part of the pineapple is brown. Okay, that means that it's going to be nice and delicious and sweet. And so you take that pineapple, you cut it up, you take the core, and you don't throw away the core. You can throw away the skin, but you don't throw away the core. You put that core into some water, and you take and let that steep, and you drink that pineapple water. Throw in some lemons and some limes and some basil into the water, and just let all of those nutrients matriculate into the water, and you just drink your infused water. So that's the first ingredient. You can have like three cups of pineapple. You have 3 lemons. Well, with your lemons, you're going to choose organic lemons. You're going to choose nice organic lemons. And you're going to hand squeeze those lemons, separate those seeds out, and then pour that fresh squeezed lemon right into the food processor with the pineapple. Then you're going to smash your garlic. You smash about 2 cloves of garlic, 2 cloves, nice little cloves of garlic. Peel them, smash them, mince them up really good. Throw them in. Ginger, here's the ginger root. The ginger root is excellent for cleansing, right? But you want to take that ginger and you want to grate the ginger. So grate it, or you choose the smallest, tiniest little grater that you could possibly select, and you grate that ginger down to a pulp, and then you use maybe like 1 inch, 1.5 inches of ginger. Ginger's hot now. They're very, very hot. So if you don't want anything too hot, then use less ginger. Use less ginger because you're going to add some cayenne pepper to this. And that cayenne pepper is taken out up a notch. You're going to add maybe like 1/4 teaspoon of that cayenne pepper. Now here's the raw honey. You want raw honey, but local raw honey. Why local? Because the local bees that are in your area have been calibrated to the toxins in your area where you live. So those, or that honey, if you choose to put it in, that honey is going to be equipped with the antioxidants that you need to have in your system to prepare your system for all the toxins that you're dealing with in that area. That's why we say local honey. Last but not least, your turmeric, about 1 inch of turmeric. And I have to caution you with this turmeric because the turmeric turns everything yellow. If you're going to use regular turmeric, you know, fresh turmeric, use a glove, like a plastic glove to protect your hand and your nails because it will turn your hand and your nails yellow once you start to grate it. You do have to grate this turmeric, and you have to use either maybe one of those sandwich plastic sandwich bags if you don't have a glove, or some saran wrap, but just protect your fingers, protect your countertops, your plates, or whatever from the turmeric because it will turn it yellow. And so you throw all of that in. If you want to do something else besides the raw honey, then you could use dates. Use about 3 dates, pitted dates. Take the pits out. Use the more jeweled dates. They're the most delicious, the sweetest. But the dates have a very good comprehensive nutritional components also to ward off sickness and disease. So you use your dates instead of the honey if you don't want to do the honey. My honey's best, honey is good. You put that all into the food processor and you just process it on high for about 1 straight minute. 1 straight minute. And you pulse all of that down. Okay. You can even take some of your lemon rind and use that lemon zest and put that lemon zest right in there with it. Okay. But if you prefer not to, then that's just fine. I just do recommend that you use your lemon zest. Find ways to use your lemon zest. Find ways to internalize your lemon zest, because that is one of the healthiest things that you can eat, the lemon peel. Okay? And you just mince it up really, really good and tiny, and throw it in with your salads, throw it into your soups, throw it into your sautés, whatever you can do, put it in there. Okay? And after you finish pulsing your flu shot, you put a cup of water in to loosen it up a bit. Put a cup of water in, and then you blend it. Blend it again with the water, and then you can drink it. And you drink about what, maybe 7 to 10 ounces? A half a cup. Okay. So you drink perhaps a half a cup of your flu shot, and you'll probably want some more than that. But start with a half a cup and see how it does your system. So that is the flu shot, and in closing, I would like to say that you remember to cleanse on a regular basis, 4 times a year. If you can, do it 4 times a year, at least 3 times a year. Use your teas, use your castor oil, use your water, use whatever kind of cleanse that you can, but definitely cleanse your system. Use the trampoline, use the bed, jump up and down, use a rope, you know, do jump rope and cleanse your system that way. That's awesome for cleansing your system, jump rope. Okay, and then take your flu shots, take your juices, take your smoothies, take them seriously. You are internalizing the goodness that Yah has given us to keep our systems running smooth. Next week on Vegan Plate Please, I will be hosting a cleanse, 7-day cleanse. So you're always welcome to hop on board that train and take the cleanse with us and let us know how you're doing with it by responding, replying, posting as often as possible. And let's see how, you know, we can encourage each other and motivate each other to get
clean and start that New Year's resolution on a high vibration. Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Elchad, Yehovah Apala, Yehovah is one, thanking him for allowing us to see and experience a new day of his creation together in oneness. Todaya, for all his goodness and may his mercy endure forever. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom.
Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work. I hope you all are following. I'm waiting for that 7-day cleanse. The flu shot is real. I don't know why people getting sick like this. I don't want to be nowhere near you. Please keep your germs to yourself. Ooh, that's kind of scary. And what's even scarier to me is that you go and get a flu shot and still get the flu. Now that could kill you. Got to be careful.
You have to.
Yeah, I know somebody who took that flu shot and then died afterwards. So, yeah, please be mindful, be careful, and know that they are injecting you with poisons and getting you sick so that you don't become sick. Does that even make sense?
Right.
But anyway, yeah, that's what they done. But Toda for sharing with us the real flu shot.
Yeah, so this is why, you know, this is why we have to just make sure that we're looking at this with spiritual eyes, because that kind of thing does not make sense. You're going to give somebody some poison so that they can create antibodies against the poison. Look, you have people who are still getting sick from the flu shot even though they've taken it, and then they come out with this, oh, it's become something different, you know, that's why it didn't work. Oh, come on. You know, just take the food and, you know, change our behavior so that we can have a different reality, because this kind of stuff just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. I wish that we did all have fruit trees in our backyards and, you know, fresh streams of water just coming down the mountain, and we can just go put our water bottle under there and get it. I wish that was the way it was. But since it's not, and you have to travel for that in remote places, then we have to get the second best thing. And so, you know, organic. And that's the one thing I did notice outside of the things that were imported into Guyana. They didn't have to label their fruit and vegetables organic. They're naturally raised there. They didn't have to worry about who sprayed what. That stuff goes quick. You got to eat it quick. It's real food, real fruits, real vegetables. And they're not sprayed with anything to hold them and preserve them. So that was a definite blessing. But since we don't have those trees just growing prolifically in our backyards, we have to be mindful of what we're putting into our temple. It's very, very difficult to stay healthy if they keep injecting you and your food with poison. So, Toda for sharing with us, Ako Adera, it's important that we stay vigilant and also stay prayed up. When you say your tefillah over that food, it is real. When you bless that food, when you say your barucha, it is something serious. So please say your barucha over your food and let y'all do the rest. But we got to be vigilant in getting the proper things into our system. So Toda, Toda, Nikma.
I'm glad you brought that part up about them injecting the foods with things to make them last longer and to preserve them. You know, that's one of the things I put into my article yesterday. I put out to my cancer patients. I reached out to a host of cancer patients and experts talking about this type of thing, you know, and people eating this food that is laden with these contaminants. And you're eating foods that have been injected with things that you don't know about, that you don't know what kind of what kind of thing is going to cause you, what kind of sickness or disease or illness is going to cause you in the long run. But you do see it because there's a higher incidence of cancer across the nation and, you know, across the world. now. There's higher incidence of cancer. So we have to attribute it to the food and what they're doing to the food. So when you go to these places, these exotic places, eat that food. Definitely take it in because it doesn't taste like American food. American food has a distinct taste, and people don't even import it into their countries because it's contaminated. So that's why I say we have to be very circumspect about our food.
Oh, wow. Did she get caught up? Did she get caught in that little area? They dropped her phone call. Let's see. Adira, did they drop you? I think she might have been in her 4-hour mark.
No.
Okay. We had a dead silence for a second. You're there. Okay. Well, what I look forward to next week is that cleansing. You said some about jumping on a trampoline. Is it the sweat that's really doing it? That's releasing toxins? You sweating? Is that what's really going on?
Yeah, so you're doing a number of different things, not just sweating. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, you're doing a number of different things when you jump, when you jump on a trampoline. Different things like that. You are actually, your body's actually moving. It's releasing, and in that movement, it's actually, you know, triggering something in your system to release junk. It's like getting the junk out of your trunk when they say you get the junk out of your trunk. So even if you don't break a sweat, you're still releasing the toxins out of your lymph nodes. That whole exercise is actually releasing toxins out of your lymph nodes.
Okay.
So I'll certainly post I'll look for the article. I'll post an article on it so that you can read it a little bit later.
So it's the combination of jumping and sweating?
Yeah. Sweating is actually a detox because it's releasing toxins out of your body. But the jumping is a detox in itself because your body is moving. It's in motion.
Well, that's very interesting because from the day I got off the plane in Guyana to the day I got back on the plane, I sweat every single day. And my mother's like, "Golly, what in the world, girl? You was just sweating." I was pouring sweat every day. Every day, drinking that coconut water and sweating like you would not believe. And she's like, "Are you going through the change?" I'm like, "Yeah, the change from 40 degrees to 85 degrees. I don't understand what's going on here." But I was just wondering. I don't think I was doing any jumping, but I know I was sweating my behind off. Woo! It felt good. It felt good because I knew that some things were going on. This was a positive thing. And I knew that it wasn't quite the change yet. But that weather, the difference in the temperature and the difference in what I was eating, I think everything was coming out through my pores. And I was just like, yeah, sweat, baby. But my mother was like, "Oh, sweetheart, you're standing in front of the air condition. Everybody in here is like fine and you are pouring. Let me dab. I did a mean piece of sweating now. I really think that was me detoxing. So if it wasn't, I'm going to go with that. I was detoxing. It felt good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the jumping, it says here that the jumping actually helps the body to detoxify by enhancing the lymphatic circulation. Jumping on the trampoline cleanses your lymphatic system, which helps remove toxins from the body. It's a fun way to lose weight. It increases lymphatic flow in the body. So it's just like pulling the junk out of the lymph nodes, you know. It's also, let me see, increasing detoxification and cleansing the body, improving function of the immune system, helps to reduce the cellulite increases oxygen circulation, leading to increased cell energy. But this part is really important about how it takes toxins away from your liver. Okay, so it actually takes the toxins out of, or helps to remove toxins from your liver when you do this bouncing. The liver and as you jump, the lymph fluid gets circulated around your liver. Okay, so your lymph nodes, like I said, are all over your body. So when you jump, you're actually moving them, and you're like stimulating them. So you're putting them in motion, and you're getting them rigorously active to do what they need to do. So that's what the best thing to do is, or that's what the best way to think about it is. You're moving your lymph nodes. You're moving your lymphatic system, and you're getting the junk out of your trunk, and you're activating them.
Yes. That is amazing. That is really, really amazing. So I'm going to consider getting a trampoline because I like jumping. I used to do jump rope when I was younger. I haven't done it in so many years.
Yeah, you can use the jump rope instead of the trampoline, you know, because it's all about just jumping. So you can use the jump rope. Absolutely.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I used to like the pogo stick, actually. I used to do pogo stick.
Oh, yes. Oh, now you took it way back. I used to love the pogo stick.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'm not even going to try it, I call you to sit here and have me feeling like I'm on a hoverboard. I cannot. What? I'm going back to the trampoline idea. I think I might go and get one of those. I think it's safer. Make sure I get one of those nets around it, too, because I know me. I'd be like, Timber! Y'all forget about it. You're pulling me up off the ground somewhere. So I'm like, your coordination is off, sister.
Our kids don't know anything about playing anymore. They don't know anything about how to play. You know, we used to just play. And we used to play in the street. We used to play in the dirt. We used to go for walks miles and miles away and just pick things as we went. Because everybody did, you know, we had things to eat along the way. People had fruit trees and bushes and things like that, you know. But, you know, our kids don't know anything about playing anymore. All they knew how to do is jump in the car and go to somebody's, you know, a basketball game or crazy.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But I tell you, I'm going to act like it. I'm going to get one of those things and I'm going to start jumping and see what happens. Hopefully, y'all will not have to worry about somebody had to pick me up off the side of the road and put me back together again like Humpty Dumpty. But this is some good stuff and good information to know. We can still live. We can live well. We can have fun doing it while we're detoxing and getting ourselves in order. All right. It's okay to be a kid, just a little baby, childlike. It's okay. It's probably best if we went out there and start playing again. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to this trampoline. Hopefully my husband agrees with me. The last time we had an incident with a trampoline, my daughter broke something. So I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. But that's okay. This is part grown up. You got to break something, right?
Yeah, something. Okay. Well, we're trying to keep it intact. What's wrong with you? Smile. So I thank the Creator for another beautiful Shabbat, and I thank him for a beautiful lesson, and I pray that each and every one of us has gotten something out of it. We're going to go ahead and start to express ourselves in open expression. So, Akko, you might as well go ahead and start us out. Give us something to look forward to, some praise and worship.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Giving our honor and praises to our glory, our power, our King. Thanking him for another day. Holy Shabbat. We're going to lift the name. Raise it up. I think I want to sing Yisrael. Yisrael. There's a land over there across the water. There's a land over there across the sea. We must find a way to get home someday so that we can set our hope something free. In my dream, I was walking through a meadow, and by chance, I just happened to hear. But she sounded worried, words I've often heard. But the message was so good for one and all. Hey! Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Finally, I glanced over the hilltop. People moaned as they wept as they sang. They sang melodies that are bound to be. You see, this is the greatest story ever told. They say we are the nation of the Torah. They say we are the children of Yah. We have come to play our glory and thanks. As you've done to us, Yah will do the same to you, Yisrael. Oh, Yah. Yes, I am. La 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 la. Then the earth tested still for one moment, and the birds started singing their song. It was such a sight, watching my delight. All the people faced the east and began to moan. Hey, yes, I am. Oh, yeah, yes, I am. La 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 la. Yes, I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all kind.
My sister, yes. Y'all go ahead and give it up for our Coach Adira. She wants to go on and be over there in the land. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. Give it up the way it's supposed to be. Show the love, show the love. Who else is going to express themselves? Don't be scared now. Adira showed you how to do it, and now you're going to take the lead, right? Who's next? Express yourself. This is the expression session. This is the time where if you missed a song, a word of love or something, a word that need to be read from the Tanakh, now is your time to do so. And if you have a song, sing it. I was going to say if you could dance, but we can't see you, so don't dance. But we're going to express ourselves with perfect love and devotion to the Creator today. Anybody have an open expression? Because this is the expression session, you know. Okay. See, they just be waiting for you to do it, Adira. And one of these days you're going to take a vacation and they're going to know how to love you. They're going to respect it. They're going to acknowledge and understand that, you know, I got to praise y'all too. this time and a place for everything. And it's time for everybody to express yourself. Okay, I done said it. All right, my psalm is Psalms 36. I wanted to read this as well this morning. Just grateful to the Most High for all things. And I ran across a brother who reads all his psalms as a song. Like he chants every last word. Thought that was pretty cool. And I'm not that one, but I thought that was pretty cool. All right, here it goes. Psalms 36 reads on this wise. This is for the leader, a psalm of Dawid, the servant of Yehovah. Transgression speaketh to the wicked, methinks. There is no fear of the Most High before his eyes, for it flattereth him in his eyes, until his iniquity be found and he be hated. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise, to do good. He deviseth iniquity upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy loving kindness, O Yah, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches unto the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Thy judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast thou preservest, O Yah. How precious is thy loving kindness, O Most High. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of thy wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou makest them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of light, and in thy light do we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, Yah, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride overtake me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There are workers of iniquity fallen. They are thrust down and are not able to rise. I ask that the Creator will protect my new found love, Channing. May the Most High protect him and all his Navy mates who have just been turned away from going to the beautiful beaches of Morocco to go and fight this unnecessary war. May the Most High protect him and all of the people and young men and women that are out there fighting a war that's not their own. Protect them from all dangers and harm seen and unseen. And be with all those that they left behind to protect their mind, their spirit, and their hearts, and keep them courageous and strong so that we can not just vouch for them, but pray on the behalf of all those that are out there on the front lines. Be with Channing today and all that he does. May the Most High bless him and his family and his GF. Hallelujah. All right. Well, that is my expression. Are there any others? Adara, do you have another?
Yeah, King. I have Psalms 135, if it hasn't been read already.
Oh, it's all yours. Oh, all yours.
Yeah, okay. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Yah. Praise, O you servants of Yah, who stands in the house of Yah, in the courtyard of the house of our Elohim. Praise Elohim, for Yah is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Our Elohim selected Yaakov for his own, Israel as his treasure. For I know that Yah is greater, our Lord, than all heavenly powers. Whatsoever Yah wished, he did in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the depths. He raised clouds from the end of the earth. He made lightning bolts for the rain. He brings forth wind from his treasuries. It was he who smote the firstborn of Mizraim from man to beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst, O Mizraim, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. It was he who smote many nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of Amorite, Og,
king of Bashan and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and presented their land as a heritage for Israel, his people. Yah is your name forever. Yah is your memorial throughout the generations. When Yah will judge his people, he will relent concerning his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, human handiwork. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. Like them shall their makers become, everyone who trusts in them. Oh, you house of Israel, bless Yah. Oh, house of Aharon, bless Yah. Oh, house of Levi, bless Yah. Oh, those who fear him, bless Yah. Blessed is Yah from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise him. I love to praise God's name. I love to praise him. I love to praise God. I love to praise him. I love to praise God's name. I love to praise God's holy name. I love to praise God's holy name, because he's my rock, my rock, my rock, my soul and shield. He's the wheel, he's the wheel. In the middle of the week, I know he'll never, never, never let me down. He's the jewel that I have found. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. Well, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. I love to praise God's holy name. I love to praise God's holy name, cause he's got power. That's right. Ain't nothing that he can't do. He's for real. He's for real. And he's making a way for you, cause I know he'll never, never, never let me down. He is the jewel that I have found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise God. Well, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. I love to praise God's holy name. I love to praise God's holy name. For he is able, that's right. There ain't nothing he can do. Why not? He's able. And he's making a way for you, because I know he'll never, never, never let me down. He is the jewel that I have found. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise God. Well, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love to praise God's name. I love to praise God's holy name. I love to praise God's holy name. Now I love to praise God's holy name. One more time, yeah. I love to praise God's holy name.
You better sing that song. What? Oh, my goodness. You got somebody up here jumping and dancing and singing hallelujah like they don't got no sense. Okay, so I'm talking about myself, but that's okay because that's that. I can talk about myself. If I can't talk about myself, then nobody else can. Wow, that was awesome. That was super awesome. Do you all agree? Oh, my goodness. I know they do. They sitting there like, yeah. That's why I'm talking. You have the power to change your mood. Just sing songs of praise. You have the power. Come on, give it up, Adira. She
know how to change a move, man. I feel great.
Hallelujah.
I love to praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I can't sing it like her, but that's all good. I put my own spin on it.
That's right.
I thank the Creator for this beautiful day. I thank him for devising this day so many years ago. We had no idea it was coming. He knew. I thank the Creator for arising us this morning to say Boker Tov and to acknowledge the Shabbat. And we didn't know that it was coming, but he knew. I thank the Creator for seeing what was in our hearts a long time ago and bring us to this point where we can discern between good and evil. He knew. He knew that you can do it. He has so much faith in you. Now it's time for us to have faith in ourselves, faith in each other, and the ultimate faith in the Creator. May the judge, the king who sits on the throne, continue to watch over each and every one of us, our men, women, and children alike, the leaders and the followers of this nation. Continue to stay blessed. We're going to shut it down if there are no other expressions. Is there any other persons out there that would like to express themselves? Everybody is off of mute. Don't be afraid to say shalom. Y'all gonna miss me next time I'm gone, right? No, don't be missing me when I'm gone. I'm here now. I'm here right now. We're here together. Let's give y'all the glory. All right, Adair, we gave him a chance to ascribe greatness unto the Most High. We gave him opportunity to sing praises and to let their voice be heard. So now we're going to close out. Is Rabbi around? Is Kohen around?
He is not around right now.
Oh, okay. I was going to try to throw him under the bus. I was going to try to ask him to say prayers for us. But since that is not the case, I'm just going to read this prayer myself, if y'all don't mind.
Go ahead now.
So happy to be back. I was happy to be gone, and I'm happy to be back. I'm going to take us out with prayer, asking that the Most High will not just hear us, but answer our prayer in mercy and in favor. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Most High, most powerful, creator of all things, you created me, you created us, and you created more things. I exist in your power, and you help me to understand that because you are is the reason that I am. Most high, most powerful, creator of all things, you created me, you created us, and you created more things. I exist in your power, and you help me to understand that because you are is the reason that I am. Oh, Most High Yah, we come before you on this beautiful Shabbat day, thanking you for life. Thanking you for restoring us back to this world as we slept in the night and didn't even know where our souls were, but we know we were in your hands. We thank you, O Most High Yah, for this beautiful Shabbat day. We thank you for our families, both near and far. And we ask that you will continue to inspire and counsel us, O Most High Yah. Wake us up and put righteousness in our minds and in our hearts always. Continue to fill our plates with food that will nourish and water that would help us to be far from thirsty, but healthy, oh yeah, healthy and alive. We ask for your mighty hand to be on us every day. We ask, oh Most High Yah, for these vessels that you've blessed us with, these bodies, to show forth the love that you have for us. We ask that Most High Yah that you will help us in our supplication as we pray and cry out to you, and that you will hear our prayer and answer us in mercy and in favor. Give us the rain so it can grow our food. Give us a good heart and a good mind so that we can always be right before you, O Yah. Allow us to be those that you trust with this Torah, to teach it and to share it with others. O Most High Yah, we ask that you will help us to be the best that we can be, strong men and women in this way of life. asking that you will continue to bless us as we travel, bless us as we go to and fro in your earth, short distances and long distances. Continue to be with us, your people, Yisrael, in the four corners of the earth, O Yah. Heal us from whatever ails us. Straighten us out from those that are bent low. O Most High Yah, those that are in the insane asylums and those that are in the prison houses, we ask that you would help us, help them to be relieved of their illnesses. Even the sins are illnesses, O Yah, because it would be a sick mind that would continue to do wrong when you know that the Most High Yah expects us to do right. When he blesses us for the good deeds and doesn't bless us when we don't do good. So let us renew our spirit, renew our minds, renew our love for you, and renew our love for the Torah. Put it in our inward parts. Continue to pour your spirit out on us, O Most High Yah, so that we can live and not die. All the praise, glory, and honor belongs to you, Yah, this day and every day. Thank you for your answers in advance to our prayers. Kol kavod alecha, tamid v'tamid dor v'dor. Hallelujah, 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 Selah. From my family to your family, we bid you a most beautiful, loving, peaceful, and restorative Shabbat Shalom.